Welcome to another exclusive SearchDataManagement.com podcast. I'm Hannah Smaltry, news writer. Today, our topic is around data quality or information quality. And our expert, one of the leading internationally recognized experts on the subject, says that bad data or poor information quality practices can cost an organization 15 to 25% actually of their operating budget. That's a lot of money and a lot of bad data. To learn more about what's going on with information quality today, we called on Larry English, an internationally recognized speaker, educator, author, and consultant in knowledge management and information quality improvement. His company, Information Impact International, provides consulting and education for information quality in a variety of related disciplines. Larry developed the Total Information Quality Management, TIQM, methodology, applying Kaizen quality principles and Deming's 14 points. He chairs information quality conferences around the world and conceived of and co-founded the International Association for Information and Data Quality. Larry, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hannah, it's my pleasure to be here today with you. I'm always delighted to help people understand some of the issues and some of the principles of implementing a sound information quality management system and help avoid the mistakes that have been made in the early days. In the first century, a Roman slave and poet named Publilius Syrus said, "From the errors of others, a wise man corrects his own." So it's my pleasure indeed to be with you today.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Larry, it seems like information quality has changed a lot over the past few years. And I'd like to start by having you share the definition of information quality that you're using today.
Information quality has changed a lot today from the early days when data quality was the term and the focus was on the problems and errors in the databases. The concept of information quality is consistently meeting or exceeding all knowledge workers and end customers' expectations with the information that they receive. Information quality is critical for knowledge workers to be able to perform their work effectively and to contribute to the enterprise mission. And our end customers, our customers and our end consumers, are also information customers. And as such, when we communicate with our customers and the end consumers, they need to have a good experience so that they are delighted with the product, services, and communications that they receive from our organizations. Now, information quality management is simply applying, as a process, is applying the sound quality principles that have been applied to manufacturing quality process system. Information itself is, in fact, a product of our business process. And so the very same principles and processes that apply to producing tangible products is also makes up the body of processes and principles that we must use to manage the intangible information products.
Is there any significance of your use of the term information quality rather than data quality?
Yes, absolutely. Now, on the one hand, we consider the terms information quality and data quality to be synonyms. And when someone uses that for their quality program, we consider that they should be synonyms. However, there are several reasons that I have migrated from using the term data quality to information quality. And the first is that when many people today use the term data quality, they're focused mostly on what's in the databases, the data content. But to have a holistic quality program for the information resource, we have to address not just the content issues, we have to have clear and correct definition of the meaning of the facts that we need to know so that information producers know what values to create and knowledge workers know the meaning of the data that they are looking at. And another reason is part of the quality of information is the presentation of the information to the knowledge workers and the application of the data to the performance of other processes. So from a technical standpoint, we must assure the quality of three component parts: the definition, And what's included in definition is what I consider to make up the information product specification data. That includes the data name. Is it a label of a fact that is easily understandable, or I infer that this is the fact being suggested by this name? The definition needs to be accurate, complete, and clear, so that a typical knowledge worker who has an interest in this information understands the meaning and has the right definition. And then the content. We have accurate, complete definition. We have the valid values for various codes or classification types of facts. And those need to be complete and correct and with definition, so you know the meaning of a given classification. So, for example, frequent flyer codes in an airline, you have different definitions of what makes up an American system, for example, an executive platinum and the privileges that they have versus a platinum frequent flyer and how many miles it takes to achieve that, or a gold advantage member as another tier of a frequent flyer. So you have to understand the meaning of those classifications themselves. And finally, you have to have quality in the business rule specification. So here are the rules that provide constraints or policies that govern the integrity of the data. So those have to be correct and clearly understandable so they can be implemented in code, for example, if we're testing the validity of data electronically, or so that knowledge workers know the meaning so that they can calculate the data properly when they capture it.
Great. Thank
now,
you.
There's actually another reason that I have migrated to the term information quality. When I get into the executive offices with my clients, and I do frequently now, I find oftentimes that the term data is perceived as a technical thing or a clerical thing. Oh, we have data entry clerks. Oh, that's what you systems people do. However, I've heard executives tell me, but I need information to manage the business. So from a political standpoint, one of the most significant customers of information is the chief executive, from whom we need to have the support and funding, and then to help make the culture change to sustain a quality management program for data and information.
Larry, could we talk next about the recent evolution of information quality and how it's changed over the last few years?
Well, certainly. It's been a significant change. In the earliest days in systems, the concept of quality of the data was centered around having someone who was the recipient. When people found errors in a database, they contacted a person to try to let them know about a problem. And sometimes they would have the right answer, and so they sent the corrected information to that individual who had the responsibility to update the data electronically. And oftentimes this role and of data quality was also documenting the problems and sometimes, you know, monitoring them until they were resolved. Now, most of the time this was just to fix the defects in the database, and there was no real effort to understand what was the cause, let alone how could this be prevented. Now, as we evolved into the 90s in information systems, we started seeing more in the way of software that was being developed to allow people to assess or inspect the data, and then also the tools that are known as data cleansing tools that are data software that should help an organization correct the data electronically with some prompting by humans for data that is not able to be resolved electronically for 100% certainty. Now, in the period of the 90s, we have seen the software emerge to take on more complex functions like identifying potential duplicate customers or duplicate products or other duplicate information, and to match and to identify where consolidation may take place. Now, as we have moved into this new century, many of the software products that have moved from the technique of data cleansing or data correction in the databases to now be able to be invoked and called from applications that actually create the data. Now, that's on the technology side. On the process side, we have moved from the concept of inspection to correction. And in manufacturing, that the inspect and correct mindset was one of the early approaches to quality in manufacturing. And then people like Deming, like Dr. Duran, like Kairo Ishikawa, one of the great Japanese quality gurus in the early days, realized that the real problems are that we have a broken manufacturing process. And what we need to do is find ways to improve the processes to prevent the variation and the defects in the manufactured goods. The same thing is happening with information quality management. In the early days, we did inspection. We measured the quality of the data, or we did scrap and rework. When we found the defects, we cleansed it or corrected it. Now we are seeing the evolution to where full quality systems focus on process improvement.
Looking ahead, let's talk about the future of information quality. What are some of the emerging trends that we'll hear more about this year and future years?
Well, what's happening now is that the focus is becoming increasingly clear that we must focus on process improvement to prevent the defects, because it's much more expensive to correct defects after they have occurred than to prevent them in the first place. Not only that, but when we have defects, it causes process failure, and we have to recover from that process failure. Internal failure happens when we discover the problems early on and correct them before they directly affect the customer. However, there's always going to be cost involved, even if we find them early in the process, because of whatever we must do in order to recover, conduct a full rerun of a computer application, or do rework manually that is extensive and expensive. But the goal is to understand the root causes and implement the Schuhart cycle, which is Plan, Do, Study, Act, that Dr. Deming introduced to the Japanese. And in Japan, it's known as the Deming cycle, although he always gave credit to Walter Schuhart for that. But in the plan phase of an improvement, you must first conduct a root cause analysis to understand what was the real root cause, not just the precipitating cause. And let me give you an example of why we must do root cause analysis. One of my clients, in healthcare insurance, was analyzing its claim data, and it was analyzing the medical diagnosis codes for their various claims procedures. They wanted to understand risk. And in one of their claims processing centers, they found a high incidence of hemorrhoid codes as the diagnosis code. It was outside of the norm of the general population and outside the norm of the other claim centers. And when we went to the supervisor, the claim supervisor told us, well, oh, I didn't know anybody else used that data. That's our data that we use to pay claims with. We use that code to identify claimants who are a pain in the rear end. And I thought that was a very ingenious thing, but there are two issues that this brings up. Number one, the perception is that this data is our data, and it's not shared or needed by anyone else. And the other is that they had a defect, actually, in the database design. They needed to be able to identify problem customers in a way that was a natural codification of the problem, and not to create a false use of an existing code that had a different purpose, a medical diagnosis code. One of the ways that organizations typically will address problems in people using different codes or creating different codes or forcing an entry of a code value. If there's a default value and people are abusing that, is to assure that they enter a code. If an organization is being measured for how many claims a day someone processes, and you say you've got to enter a code rather than allow the default value to be used, then what you're doing is you're going to rearrange how the defects show up. The code that will be selected or entered will be something that's on the first screen or something that a claims processor may just make up because it's too difficult to get to or find the right code for the particular problem so that they can enter it quickly. If they're being paid for how many claims a day they process, that's going to be their first priority and not the quality of the data for the downstream underwriters to understand the risk and to underwrite the cost properly.
Interesting. Got to give people incentive to have information quality, it sounds like.
Well, actually, quality ought to be a part of our business, and that's the habit that has been made in the Japanese company. So as I've had the privilege to work with Toyota Motor Company here in the U.S. to help them implement quality management principles to their information, and that they've already been applying on a rigorous basis in their manufacturing sector.
Last year, I think at least three data quality, sort of standalone data quality vendors were acquired, and integration vendors announced new data quality features. How have the technology tools for information quality changed?
I think we're going to see more and more consolidation because some of the bigger software companies are recognizing that this is an important niche and it's going to be growing in importance, and if they do not have the technologies to help people with this, they may be left out. So I think that's one of the trends that we will see. And a key consideration for people in as we move to the technologies is we will see an increasing capability to do assessment or measurement, to do a better job in data correction, and to recognize some of the limitations that software has in being able to correct the types of data that it does. And as people look at and evaluate information quality software, they need to be to remember this. The first thing that you need to have in place is your processes. So for measurement, not for measurement's sake, but for measurement to assure that your processes are in control and producing the level of quality that is expected by the knowledge workers and the information consumers. In capability, the highest degree of capability in software tools is the defect prevention capability. Doing data cleansing after the fact in a batch mode is always a reactive, and it's a cost of non-quality, cost of poor quality. However, if we use our technology to prevent the defects, then we don't have instances of process failure. And so we don't have defects that we have to correct subsequently. Now, there is a caveat. There is certain data that is subject to what I call information quality decay. And that is data that is subject to where a real-world object like a person moves from one address to another address. We may have captured the address properly in the first place and it's accurate and complete, but now that they have moved, that address is moot. It's no longer correct, but not from the fault of anybody for not capturing it properly. It's the fact that a real-world characteristic can have its characteristics change, and we have to have processes that capture those changes if we need them and use them in subsequent processes. Product price is an example of that. Prices can change, and if we have a redundant database having pricing at the check register where the items are scanned, then those items will scan at an incorrect price. Information quality decay. So we have to have processes in place to assure that our data stays in sync and our data stays correct and current from the databases where it is used.
What advice can you offer listeners about evaluating and implementing data quality tools and processes for that matter?
Well, a key thing, if you are looking at a methodology or a set of techniques, you want to understand from what quality management principles has this methodology or set of techniques been developed. So does it understand the fundamental principles? The customer is, in fact, the most important person here. We have to understand their needs. So that when we think about measuring quality, we first identify a set of problem data, and then we have to understand the customer's expectations, completeness, accuracy, timeliness, presentation quality of the information itself. Is it built off of a fundamental sound quality management system? Or does it focus on simply measuring what's in a database? We need to measure the process capability over time and report on that using the proven tool of statistical quality control charts so that we can see that our processes are staying in control or where they are shifting and out of control, and we need them to identify the root causes and correct those processes. If we are looking at does the methodology have a process improvement technique that is built on top of the Schuhart cycle, the Plan, Do, Study, Act, that is demonstrated to be effective in making improvements? Or do we just, does the methodology just have us define improvements without thinking about root causes? If we're looking at the software, we want to be looking at the tools that are being developed in ways that will generate statistical control charts. We also want to look for tools that don't just have cleansing capability, but they also have defect prevention capability that is easy to use and effective that they can embed and call from their applications that create data. So these are some of the key things. And if the software providers also have a methodology, what I have tended to find is that those methodologies tend to address the capabilities of the software, and not necessarily do they address the capabilities that are beyond the reach of their software tools. So that's why you should start with your processes, defining your processes first, and then evaluating the technologies that map into your processes. And if there are gaps in the information quality software, you've got procedures that can handle those limitations that you may execute manually.
But it's not all about just these tools, right? What are some of the other processes that support information quality?
Well, in fact, a precursor, a process and function is that of information management itself. And information management is about managing information as a critical resource of the enterprise. And in fact, information is the second most important resource of the enterprise next to its people, its knowledge workers. And once we have the right people and we've trained them and we have empowered them, then when we empower them with quality, just-in-time information, that's where we're going to see competitive advantage emerge and thrust the leading-edge companies ahead of the competition. Information management is, information quality management is not an extension of information management. Information management applying sound management principles to information as a resource of the organization. There's a universal resource management lifecycle. It's applied to financial resources, our human resources, our facilities resources, our materials resources. And that is, that resource lifecycle is plan, acquire, apply, maintain, dispose. So We plan for a resource because there's a cost of acquiring it, but there's value to be derived from applying it. So we maintain it to keep it current. If it's manufacturing equipment, we have to keep the equipment maintained so it doesn't break down and fail on us. People we have to maintain by developing their skills, by paying them salary and wages, and by providing them benefits such as health care and retirement. Information we have to plan for, and that's what we do when we understand requirements for an application that we're going to automate. What does this system need to do? What do we need to know in order to accomplish our mission and our objectives in the grand scheme of accomplishing that mission? And then developing our information models that reflect a natural structure of the facts that we need to know about the objects that we need to know about. So data represents characteristics of real-world objects and events. So I have a name, I have an address, I have a birthday, and we need to capture those facts properly and maintain them so we can use them and apply them effectively. Now, information resource management addresses the capturing of a data name, defining it, getting its definition, and defining the business rules so we can automate our systems and we can design our databases. So that is a very important support discipline, and it is a set of discipline that enables the first part of our quality in the information product specification data. So that's a critical function. Now, we need to have things like information governance in place and stewardship, which is accountability for information. Now, many people, when they talk about information stewards and stewardship, they tend to think only about one role, and that is a subject matter expert who can verify the correctness of a definition of a given fact of data. However, every person in an organization has one or more stewardship roles with respect to information. So if I, for example, am a knowledge worker, and here I'll use the term knowledge worker as the distinct role of I am an information consumer. I retrieve information or I receive information in order to do my job or make my decision. An information producer is someone who creates the information. Now, they may create it on paper, and that's given to someone else to enter it electronically, and that someone else is either a transcriptionist, a data entry person, so I didn't create the content, but I'm entering the content someone else has given me. Or they may be a translator, where we have complex information like engineering drawings and specifications that we need to digitize. And so there will be some skill there, but that's the difference between a translator, an information translator, and an information transcriber. I just simply transcribe what I've been given. Executives. The top executives represent the strategic information stewards. They are the ones who create the management systems whereby work is performed, the performance measures. And if we have measures for speed over quality of the information, we're going to always have information quality problems because that is one of the most fundamental root causes. So we have to have executives understand that the performance systems that they put in place will influence how work is performed and how the processes are performed and can either hamper or encourage quality information to be produced. So information stewardship and the many roles need to be in place. Every business manager, for example, must be held accountable for the quality of the information produced by their staff. If a manager has a different set of objectives from the information producers, there's always a conflict of interest. I may choose to do what I need to do to accomplish my performance measures and get my bonus, but I don't have money left over to provide the training to my information producers so they can do their job right and create quality information so that our downstream customers, and there may be as many as 5 or 10 different customer groups outside of my business area that depend on that information, but they're not able to do their job because I didn't provide the resources to my staff.
Can you leave us with some advice for people tasked with creating information quality strategies this year?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. As you develop your strategy, if you're in the process of implementing an information quality program or function or initiative, there really is required two sets of plans. You need a long-term plan to address the cultural issues in this, accountability, information policy that needs to be established at the executive level. In fact, getting the executives to understand the issues and the fact of the problems and the cost of the problems that poor quality information causes us. Most executives, if they are removed, they don't manage by walking around to see what's going on in the real world of the transactions, and the work that the people do can be oblivious to the real cost of poor quality information. And those costs tend to be anywhere from 15 to more than 25% of a large organization's operating budget, and actually be waste caused by defective information causing process failure, recovery from the process failure, and the information scrap and rework that is required can be as much as more than 25%. In one major financial organization, a study was conducted by one of my colleagues for his master's degree, and they found and documented and measured and calculated the cost of poor quality. That thesis was signed off by the legal department. It was signed off by the internal auditors that they agreed with the finding, and their cost of poor quality information was 33% of their operating revenue.
That's a lot.
That is a lot of money, and it happens in smaller organizations. Let me say this in my final words today, and that is, I believe fully that information quality management must be a core competency of organizations that aspire to be leading edge and to aspire to be eminently successful in what I am seeing as the coming realized information age. We've had the technology of the information age since the mid-1940s, early 1950s, but we are only just now learning the real principles of what an information age organization ought to do, how it ought to do it. Managing information is a strategic resource, and applying quality principles to information as a product of our business processes that is critical for us to be able to manage the business and to effectively understand and satisfy and delight our end customers. With that, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to be with you and share.
Thank you so much for sharing all of this great information. I really appreciate you talking with Search Data Management today. Will you tell us a bit about what projects you're working on now?
Well, I'm involved in several things. Right now, I'm working on two new books. One I'm writing on the application of information quality across many of our business value chains. The hire to retire, the people information, from budget to profit, and the financial information. From quote to cash or order to cash, the supply chain. So I'm involved in that. I'm working on another book as an editor for the IAIDQ, the International Association for Information and Data Quality, and that we are studying the various quality systems like Juran and Deming, Kaizen, Ishikawa, Feigenbaum, the Baldrige Criteria, and once we have understood and documented the principles of those quality systems, we'll look at the similarities and then translate what that means for quality systems for information quality management. I'm on an ISO standard body that is developing quality standards for information, and that's ISO 8000 is the number reserved for that. And the IAIDQ has become an external liaison to that particular committee. I've been involved in some other initiatives working with quality in the global justice system, a consortium that involves about 1.2 million people who work in the justice agencies across the country in helping them to quality principles to manage the sharing of information and the quality of that shared information across those agencies. So several things are going on. So we're looking to grow the IAIDQ. Anyone out there is looking for a set of practitioners who are working on helping develop the techniques and methods and body of knowledge, they should join.
Well, thank you again for speaking with us today, Larry English. So that concludes this podcast on information quality trends. I'm Hannah Smaltry, news writer, and you've been listening to a SearchDataManagement.com exclusive podcast.